Okay. Last time, we found the four of you on a train heading towards the town of Calamity on the edge of the City of Glass. After getting situated and stealing a part of the conductor who was sewn into the train itself, the train stopped, having run into what appeared to be an ocean in the middle of the train track. After a number of the military staff got off of the train started moving again and then plunged into the sea. The cabin filled with this foul-smelling black water, and then it began falling. And that is where we resume. You are all in a falling train.
What the fuck?
Is this good?
Chad, is this normal?
I feel like Ledger grabs his hat, his top hat, just like pressing it down onto his head with one hand, and then tries to like hold onto the seat in front of him. And he's yelling.
Yeah, Booker grabs on the nearest thing.
Yeah, Bailey's putting like his foot against the table, the other one like all braced on the floor, and he's like putting his hand behind him on the chair and just trying to like box himself in as hard as he can.
You feel the fall. It's very alarming. There is a very loud crashing noise. And then a jolt, a lot of people fall over, some luggage probably falls out of the overhead compartments, which of course there are. The train stops, and the thick black liquid kind of drains out of the train as quickly as it came in, and it is replaced with a gentle pitter-patter of rainfall outside, and there's a thick black film from this liquid sticking to the windows of the train, giving very little view of the outside world.
What about on us? Like, are we drenched in the black liquid, too?
Yeah, it's like, up to your waist. Probably, like, splashed with it, too. It smells bad. It smells like old oil.
Ugh.
I feel like...
What just happened?
Ledger, despite the fact that both of these pants are, like, completely shredded in the knees, he's like, "Aw, son of a bitch, these was my good pants."
Screw your pants! What the hell was that?
I don't know. He kind of stands up unsteadily, totters a little bit, and is the attendant here? Like, is she like laying on the ground? Is she like grasping a seat?
She is grasping onto a seat. She's like shaking. She is robbed of words. She has no comforting words for you. The other passengers are panicking, are like yelling, talking amongst each other. It's chaotic.
I think Ledger stands up, and he's not, he kind of just projects his voice a little bit, but he draws the really big revolver out of its shoulder, out of its, like, sorry, his little harness holster, and puts it at, like, half cock, and then he's like, "If you don't mind, ma'am, I'm gonna disembarkate for a moment and, see what the situation is."
She kind of just looks at you with wide eyes, and is just like, "You should stay inside."
He doesn't, he just kind of smiles and like tips his hat and then like looks to his companions and gestures with his head and starts walking to the door.
Bailey flips out his broken blunderbuss and then he's just like, "That's not what we do, ma'am." And then he walks away.
I told you, it works.
It works.
Ledger's going to the door that would lead, the door they went out before, yeah. That's like not the side door, but the door that leads to where the locomotive is.
Yeah. You go outside. You find yourself in what could be described as kind of like a burnt down frontier town. There's remnants of a number of charred wooden buildings all spread sparsely around you. Directly next to the train is the remains of a train station with a sooty, non-functioning clock stuck just above the station platform. Around you, there is the occasional wet sounds of globs of thick liquid hitting the ground. And looking up, you see that the entire sky is a roiling black sea, suspended impossibly in the air. Light filters through it, casting gray, twisting caustics across the landscape, like you are at the bottom of a pool. The town seems to stretch as far as you can see, burnt down buildings one after another onto the horizon. The air here smells of ash and rancid oil, and just ahead of you, in the train station, you hear the gritty shifting of charred rubble as something moves.
I don't recognize this place, do I? Like, I think I can assume that we are probably in the City of Glass now, in a manner of speaking. But I don't recognize this place specifically, do I?
No.
Okay.
Mila goes towards the rubble.
What's the source of the, like, can we see any signs to what the source of the noise is?
No, it's behind, like, a burnt down wall. Or it's not burnt down. It's just charred.
Booker's gonna follow Halo.
Easy, guys.
He's not
easy.
Hiding his pistol anymore.
You turn the corner to find a little counter, also quite burned. And behind it is a greasy, pale man covered in soot, who's pulling himself up from behind the remnants of a ticket counter. He is completely nude, save for a satchel strapped across his chest. He reaches into his satchel and puts on a little bowler hat, and he says, Hi.
Hello. My name's Halo. What's yours?
I don't have a name.
Okay.
I think Ledger wanders around the wall as well, and seeing that there's not some horrible monstrosity here, he probably tucks his revolver back away. Says, you some kind of... I don't know. What would you call this? Like a porter, a ticket taker, a station operator?
Well, whatever you want to call him.
Are you the proprietor of this here train station?
He points to his hat.
Oh, that's pretty conclusive. what was the name of the place we were headed to?
Calamity. Again,
was it called Calamity? Yeah.
Calamity.
Locomotive seems to have become waylaid on its way to Calamity. Don't suppose you might know how we might get there.
Well, gonna have to pick up passengers, I presume. Or drop them off. That's what trains do.
Suppose so.
Halo looks around. Are there any people?
There are no people except this person. He rummages around in his satchel, or maybe behind the counter, and he pulls out a little notebook. He says, let's see. Yeah, I got one going out.
Okay, I hope I did not misrepresent myself. This isn't my train, I'm just riding on it.
What's the difference?
That's a good question.
No, it isn't.
There's a... We got a first class ticket here for a F man. He's not here. Probably got caught up in the theater or something. But I love your accent. I find myself slipping into it.
Yeah, it is infectious. Wasn't the one I was born with. Just this time.
That's too bad. Or maybe it's good. I don't know. Help yourself to the amenities.
And what's that?
Just so I understand, we aren't going anywhere until this F-man shows up.
That's up to your train. But that's what trains do.
I guess. See, here's the thing. My impression was that the train did not expect to come here.
Did you ask it?
I guess Ledger looks to Halo and he's like, I don't know. Did you ask it?
Not yet. I could. He looks back towards the train. But then he looks back towards the proprietor and says, excuse me, what is a theater?
Well, it's like a place where people pretend. And you watch. You laugh and you cry. You pretend to have an accent that's not yours, like I'm doing right now.
Not bad.
Impressive.
And this person we need is there?
The train might need him. I don't know.
Well, we need to be on the train moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we can if... This is so, I think... And Colin, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the impression that I get from what I know about the city is that this kind of, like, weird, skewed unreality logic probably isn't that unusual there, or at least maybe Ledger assumes that it's not. Would that be an unreasonable thing to assume?
Like, is this a thing that happens?
I would say, like, it depends how deep you've gone. really.
I don't think he's gone that deep pointedly because he's trying to not get killed.
It shouldn't be this weird here.
Yes, like, I am aware. Yeah, because we're like so far away from where the weirdness is supposed to be.
This is like people who gone very deep would tell you a story about this. You'd be like, that's crazy. I don't even know if that's real. But like, you can believe it because you've seen some weird shit.
Cool. Okay. So Halo says, well, what the train needs, we need. How far away is the theater?
Oh, it's just in town. It's just in town.
It's a big town, friend. Could you perhaps be more specific?
Oh, it's theater word, you know? It's like in the direction of the theater. Theater word.
Could you take us there?
Oh, no, I'm on the clock. I'm sorry. Well, I suppose I'm beneath the clock. And he points up.
Okay, you're pointing, so why don't you point towards the theater?
Hmm. And he points at you, Bailey.
Oh, I'm, what? Is this, I'm an actor?
Oh, you get it already. This is great. This is going to go great for you. This is going to go great for you. I really do think it's that way. And he points past Bailey.
Can I make him crave showing us there?
You want to use an ability.
Yeah, ooh. I do.
Read me your ability's description.
Debt is just quantified want. You cut out the middleman. Roll Compel plus Haven to cast the spell on an NPC you're speaking to. On a success, you can instill a desire for something in them. And if the thing they want is unusual, casting the spell is unusual for them to want. Casting the spell is risky. On a success, they now fiercely want whatever it is you specified until the end of the current situation.
What are you trying to instill in him? A desire to be helpful?
I want him to... A desire to just take us there. Like, I'm viewing it as... He views it's his job not to, you know, because he's on the clock, but I think he actually wants to. So okay. I want him to do it.
Your domain right now is Desolate Haven. So you have...
Oh, hell yeah.
Haven... And compel. So roll it. Yes. Let's see what you get.
God's Brian.
That would be, I assume, risky because it goes against his job.
I think it's... I'm not going to give you risky. I think I think he's just being esoteric.
You don't be risky with this guy.
This is scary. This works then.
Wow, you failed.
Failure. Take stress.
Three dice failure.
Wow. Great. What stress is this? I think this is probably...
This is the end.
Take Fortune Fallout. I'm going to give you 1d4. Will you take one Fortune Fallout? If you have any armor, remember, it rejects it.
All right. And then Fallout test?
Yep. Jesus. Well,
that should not be true. Why would you... You shouldn't have five.
Oh, because I have the mind one.
It's the cumulative total.
Oh, it's total.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough out here. Okay.
Oof.
I'm going to give you a minor fortune fallout because you rolled a
broke
four versus
boy.
Five. Okay. I'm going to give you this one. I need to think of something real quick. Give me 1 minute.
While this is happening, Halo brings his hands up and watches the light play on his fingers. He turns to Ledger and he says, I remember something. I know what this place is.
What? How do you remember anything? You was born, what, a couple of weeks ago?
I think this place is what they call beautiful. And he just looks around.
I think it looks like a bit of a shithole, if I'm being honest, but to each his own.
Bailey rolls his eyes.
What is shithole?
You want to see?
No.
Well, I'll wait
till the proprietor turns around to see that.
Oh, God. Place that's not very nice, not pleasant. Nowhere to get a drink, no friendly faces, maybe mean things lurking around in the dark.
Confusing things, and he points towards the guy.
Friendly
faces.
For a moment, This place is like lit up, like it's daytime, Booker. But for a moment, it's dark. It's like very dark. And you find yourself looking up at the night sky. And it's like you're back on the surface again, but there's no ground. It's just empty. And the stars above you are dark and silent. And you feel like something really awful is going to come to pass in your future. You gain the foreboding fallout, which is a minor fortune fallout, which is that something bad is about to happen. The GM will hint at it. This can be upgraded to crisis.
Ooh, that's scary. That's fun. Crisis.
You can remove your stress, though, right?
Yes, you can remove his stress from fortune.
Okay.
That's which awesome. Is just one.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Wow, thanks. But not mind. I can't remove the mind one.
No, that's
no, not yet. That, if you take a major fallout, you clear all stress. Yeah, the guy just kind of points back in the direction. He said, I think it's that direction. I can't leave. I'm telling you.
What does it look like when Booker tries to do this thing? Like, does it look unusual, or is he just like asking him a question?
I guess in my head, it looks normal, but I don't know, Colin, would anyone with like demon-y connections be able to pick up on what's going on?
That's up
to
you.
I just mean, like, does he like do anything?
I like, almost view it as like a forced mind trick.
Where it's like not waving your hand really a little bit?
Doing the Bene Gesserit voice stuff?
Yeah, Bene Gesserit voice. It's like that. It's not a very obvious ability.
Okay, cool. Kind of subtle. Yeah, I reckon we can probably find it. I guess thank you for the information. And Ledger kind of spins on his heel and goes to walk out unless somebody stops him.
Let's go.
Yep.
As we walk outside of the train station, I think Ledger's probably like, cheer up, Booker. You look like someone just walked over your grave. And he grins. Does he have a... Do you think... Maybe he has a gold tooth.
Yeah, he does. He has a gold tooth, definitely.
I think he does.
Before we leave the proprietor, I want to do a test. I want to say... hold on, Bailey. Stand over there, and I point to... I don't know, a space that's like... 6 feet off to the left from where he was before.
No.
I walk up to him and I like start pushing him gently.
What are you, why? What does it matter?
Halo is like a little bit stronger than you would imagine, so if he wasn't prepared for being pushed, he's going there.
Probably
and
not.
After Bailey's repositioned, I turn back to the guy and I say, which way is the theater now? To see if he's still pointing at Bailey or not.
He's still pointing a few feet behind Bailey's shoulder.
Hmm. Okay. This gives me some info. Some info as the player. I'm not sure if Halo quite grasps it yet.
Bailey probably runs around Halo. That's actually kind of smart. Good idea.
I think we can figure it out. And I think as the group kind of wanders on, Ledger's like, I do not mean to alarm you all, but I believe that we may have somehow entered the periphery of the city already, which, as you might know, is impossible.
Shouldn't be this close.
No. Now, they say it's been getting bigger. I believe this to be true, but this is unprecedented. And what that means is that, we can no longer trust what you believe to be cause and effect, the simple evidence of your own eyes. Be careful. And he smiles again. And I feel like maybe as he does, there's just like a... Anybody who's looking at his face, there's like a flicker of like... Maybe his true self shows just for a moment... That of a gaunt, skeletal face draped with scraps of long since rotted flesh, just for a second.
Hmm.
Just when he smiles.
Yucky?
Booker is not doing good.
Yeah, I think Bailey pats her back and is like, I know. I have a thing. It must be leaking in places. It must not be all together. I wonder if it seeps out in little spots. You're thinking the same thing too, right?
What are you talking about?
this? And he points all around him. The city of glass is leaking.
Why the fuck am I here?
What's the matter with you? Are you all right?
Let's go. All
right.
I have a question, actually. When we left the back of the locomotive, was the guy who was sitting in his chair still there? And was his chair still there?
He was gone and his chair was gone.
Not his chair.
No. Okay.
His chair was not bolted down.
Fuck.
Yeah, he's probably fucking dead. I think Ledger's like, well, the way I see it, we got two choices. We can go and try and find this mystery passenger, or we can go try and speak with our good friend, the locomotive, seeing as he is now unguarded.
I doubt he has much to say to us.
Devil we know.
Halo has his finger up to where his mouth would be. He's rubbing it thoughtfully. Doesn't say anything, though. He's just walking with the group.
Well, I'd like to be active. If we could find this and solve it, find whoever's at the theater, that would be nice. But if you have any more questions for the train, we can go back there, too.
Nah, we can ask him when we get back. I've been sitting for so long. I admit I would love to go for a stroll. I think he draws his revolver again, and he's like, y'all keep your head on a swivel, eyes peeled. We'll go up ahead. And he just, he's not really going up ahead. He just means like a few paces maybe ahead of everybody else. And he kind of starts walking ahead of the group, just a couple paces, and you maybe hear him say like, all right, baby, you watch left, I'll keep right, and we will find this theater.
Okay. I think this would be a delve desolate.
Wow, I love to delve desolutely. In fact,
that's what you do.
That is literally
what I do, bro.
Ledger is in his element.
Yeah, he is.
Booker thought he was in his.
Now he's shaking.
Yes, you thought.
Shaking like a leaf.
All right. So, is this a
standard?
Is this risky? Standard. I love to be standard. Let's see what happens.
Hip to be square.
Failure. Jeez. Five is a failure?
Five is a failure. Five is the highest failure state there is.
That is true. 5-3-2.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna give you stress, I guess. I guess I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm gonna just a D4. Just a D4 mind stress. Oh, it's just four mind stress for me.
Just a D4.
I'm going to use my special ability collateral once per
you
session.
Fuck.
Allocate stress to an ally instead of
you
me.
Fuck.
And yeah, I'm gonna give it to Booker.
Jesus.
I want the crisis to happen.
What does this look like? How are you allocating it to him instead?
I think maybe this precise setup can look however you want it to, but I think he like notices something's a little off and he's like, hey, yo, what does that look like to you? And he kind of like tries to get him over here to like look at what it is and then maybe takes a half step back.
Hey, can I do that? Can I do that back at him?
Oh.
We both have the same ability.
That
would be.
I
really
don't
funny.
Think it says you can't, right? There's no.
That's true. Once per session, I don't have the exact wording, but I think.
Yeah, no, I have the wording. I pasted it. Here it is.
Because you're both forced.
Oh, okay, no, it says to the nearest friendly target instead of marking it yourself. So I don't think I actually get to necessarily choose.
I mean, anyone you want can be nearest to you at this point.
Yeah.
But since we already did it for Booker, you get it right back.
How does that look if Booker realizes that Ledger's like trying to get him to do, I guess, because this is exactly, so what does he do?
He said do it yourself.
Well, that was rude. And then I think he's going to go take a look. Should I make my fallout test now?
You should. Add that. No fallout.
No
nice.
Fallout. Ooh, how did I get an 11?
It's a D12.
Oh, okay. That's not right. But it's still no fallout because my total is 8, not 4. I forgot to click out before I rolled it.
Okay, that's fine. No fallout.
Yeah, no fallout.
Yeah, you...
A lot of mind stress.
The town seems to stretch on forever. You think it'd be easy finding what seems to be an intact building, but it's like you can't say what is in any direction. The buildings seem to create a sort of visual static, which is making it hard to see past them. And as you kind of look on, at certain points, like all of the burnt down buildings seem to line up together, just being like a wall of black, which is constantly shifting. It's uncomfortable. I think since you failed, I can't give you the theater. I'm sorry.
Colin, can I use an ability?
What's that?
Lost it all. Once per session, ask the GM where the nearest source of wealth is, and he'll tell me.
Yeah.
The train.
That's a good question. I think that would be the theater. And I think... Someone roll again, whoever wants to, and you will gain mastery because now you have a bearing on it because of your wealth sense. You feel there's something very valuable in there. Well, Ledger can roll it if he wants, or you can also roll it. It's a Delve Desolate.
You want to do it, Ledger?
I think.
I don't got Delve.
Sure. I mean, yeah, I'm the best. I just know that it's kind of poor form to just roll the same thing when you fail, but these are different circumstances.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you don't object, I would.
I do not object, but does Colin?
I don't object. I think it's perfectly. What does it sound? What? How do you communicate that you know where this wealth is? What does it feel like? What does it look like?
Now, it looks like. Could it be a rat scurrying in a direction? I'm imagining this is tied to that.
That'd be cool.
Sure. Yeah.
I like yeah. That. He just notices some rats and he gets a feeling like that's where we need to be.
Follow the rats? What, you think they're going to go see a play?
Just trust me on this one.
Suppose it ain't like the most unusual thing. Let me see. So now, Ledger is following his own guide, the rat. And
critical
let me tell
success.
You, that's a critical
yes.
success. Double tens!
Excellent.
Now that we're past this shenanigans, there we go.
Following the rats, it is very easy to get where you're trying to go. You reach the theater quite immediately. It's just right around the bend. All you have to do is walk forward, man. The theater is a tall wooden building. You are not sure how you did not see it because it is taller than any of the burnt down things around you. It is seemingly untouched by whatever conditions burned down this town. There is a placard on the front of the theater reading very simply theater in block letters. And underneath it, it says now showing A Final Craving, italicized. In front of the theater is a small box office, and in between two sets of double doors, sitting at it is another nude man wearing a wide-brimmed flat cap on his head, which he dons as he sees you with a bored expression.
So he's not nude?
Not except the hat, no.
Yeah.
I think Ledger probably swaggers up. And
I think he, Bailey's going to stop the group for a second. It's like, everybody wait. Wait, oh. Don't move. Don't move. Listen, my gun's broken. Okay? He holds up the blunderbuss.
All right, looks fine to me. What is your point? I hope you were not planning to shoot this man. I was about to have a conversation with him.
Colin, I want to use an ability called Mark of the Weaver. Once per session, you can fix someone or something in a matter of seconds, even if it would usually take hours of careful work. Can I do this? Am I allowed to?
Your gun.
Yeah,
presumably.
Yes.
That's funny because I think it's not actually broken.
Yeah.
So how does this work?
Specifically, you can't. What? You specifically cannot fix your gun. Because no matter what you do, you can't find out what's wrong with it. But you know it's broken.
All right.
I like this mind worm. This is good.
Just so you guys know, I have a broken gun. I put the gun away.
Carry on.
Oh, that won't consume the use of your ability. Just so you know.
All right. Well, I will keep that in mind. I will take it under advisement. Yeah, I think I'll go up to the man and be like, "You wouldn't happen to be F man, would you?"
No. What? No.
Is he inside?
There's plenty of people inside. There's a show going on.
So you don't know him by name. That means that name does not mean anything to you particularly.
Are you talking about God? When you say him?
F man is his name. I don't know what the F stands for. Maybe it's like, maybe his name is F, like it's a word spelled out phonetically.
I mean, when I sell tickets, I don't really take down the names. Sorry. It's a matinee today, though, so it's free. So you don't worry about that.
Oh, well, isn't that nice? Well, I suppose we'll just have to... He's got a train to catch, you see.
The train guy.
Yeah. I mean, possibly. Maybe.
Yeah. I think he might be in the green room.
Okay, what...
Stage fright.
Oh, I see. He's got a performance today.
And so do you.
I do?
Method acting. Got it. Never mind.
All right, maybe you better just point us towards the green room.
I mean, so that's staff only.
But I'm an actor. You just said.
You're confusing me now. Okay, why don't you just go in? Why don't you just go in? Okay.
It worked.
Yeah, I think Legend just walks in.
The theater lobby. Go ahead, Booker.
We're with him.
Yeah. <We're following. laughs> The theater lobby is plain and largely unremarkable. Some uncomfortable wooden benches dot the interior. Ahead of you, right ahead, are a pair of open doors leading into the theater proper. You hear voices coming from inside of it. Farther off to the side is a wooden door which reads employees and performers only.
I can't read, so this sign won't stop me.
Is there anybody in here?
In where? In the theater?
In the lobby.
No. But you do hear people in the theater. Or at least the performance. You're not really sure what it is.
Well, he looks back to the group and he's like, I suspect we might find our man in the green room, which is... I guess I don't know what a... Ledger doesn't know what a green room is. Said the man had stage fright, so maybe he's where the performers are?
Possibly. Or maybe... Well, you're probably right. I do kind of want to know what's going on in there. He points down to the theater.
Yeah. Halo peeks through the auditorium door. Doesn't go in, but just wants to see how big the crowd is.
I'm going to describe some sensory information to you.
Oh, yeah.
The auditorium is dimly lit. The air smells rich here, like an old mixture of varnish and smoked meat. The ceiling of the room is unusually high, so high that you can't see the ceiling at all. The light does not reach it. Ahead of you are rows of geometric wooden seats, which encircle the stage ahead of you. The seats don't really seem to be separate from the floor itself. It's as if they were carved out of this bone white flooring of the ground. At the other side of the room is the stage, where three stage lights illuminate the four actors on the stage itself. Off to either side of the stage are a pile of bodies, which sit around the centerpiece, which is a scale model of a building, angular and imposing, wholly exotic. It is a tall structure, more spire and spike than a functional space. By your closest approximation, it seems to be made of bone. It stands no more than 10 feet tall. It has no doors from what you can tell. There are recesses carved into it that must represent windows, and you get the distinct impression that it is breathing. And this, Halo, is the cathedral.
Oh. Okay.
And Ledger, there's something about this structure that is vaguely familiar to you, unsettlingly so, because when you first met Halo, you briefly had a vision that you are inside of a similar imposing alien structure, its walls breathing and a burning light trying to scorch its way out of your chest. And to make matters worse, in front of the cathedral are four actors, spitting images of yourselves. Even Halo, a shimmering iridescent being, is depicted on stage, providing his own light source without the help of the stage lights. And they seem to be in the midst of a performance, despite the lack of attendees.
Oh, so there's no one in the seats.
You said there was a pile of bodies, right?
On either side.
Yeah, okay. I think so, like, do I... Halo goes and, like, looks in this door, and we, like, kind of see this over his shoulder, right? Is that...
Yeah, sure.
What I'm to understand? Yeah,
as soon as Halo sees the cathedral and he spends a couple of seconds registering the people, he just walks right in.
Wait. Yeah, I'm going to follow Halo.
Yeah.
Damn it, this is not the time! Hey, Ledger follows everybody in, but he's clearly not happy about it.
Are you sitting or are you just standing at the back?
Halo approaches the stage just down the center of the rows and gets pretty close to it and stares up and watches.
As you walk down the center aisle, you're almost transfixed on the play itself. It feels like it's taking too long to walk down, as if you're not making any progress. The actor portraying Halo speaks as he walks around the outside of the cathedral.
This is the place Mother has been trying to bring me. She must be inside. We have to find a way in.
Bailey looks around, first at the cathedral, then seemingly at the theater.
No, this isn't right. This isn't how it was described at all.
Booker examines his shoulder, then his hand. He moves it up and down as if testing its weight.
I fear that this is just another rehearsal.
Halo claws at the cathedral walls as if trying to tear his way in.
Mother has closed herself. We must find a way into the womb. We are so close.
Ledger breaks his silence.
No, it is not for us to be surgeons. We would risk a stillbirth. They must emerge on their own.
Bailey looks out into the audience, a glassy, confused expression on his face.
They cannot even see from the amniotic sac. They do not taste what the umbilical cord feeds them. It will strangle them.
Booker, looking bored, muses to himself.
Another price to pay. Truly we are no different. Perhaps this rebirth will be more fortunate.
Ledger suddenly points at Booker, his anger barely concealed.
My destiny is in death, not rebirth. I will not take any substitute.
Halo sits on the ground, slouched and defeated.
These ones are going off script. Maybe this time, it'll be less sad.
Bailey interjects.
I am not going to be humiliated again. There must be another way. What about the teeth? What about the narrator? What was his role? He didn't do anything.
Ledger, calming, looked uncomfortably out into the audience.
The narrator is irrelevant. He is a failure who will take any role he can get to be remembered. He is not who he was.
One of the stage lights goes out with a loud ka-chunk noise. Ledger disappears from view. Booker sits on the edge of the stage and looks out into the theater.
For all the pain it's been, I truly hope this one is a flop.
Another light goes out, taking Booker with it. Bailey, looking crazed, stands in the last remaining beam of light, looking up into it.
Damn you, you set me up! The script was against me from the start.
The final stage light goes out, leaving the glowing Halo in the center of the stage alone, sitting right in front of the cathedral. He seems to be about to say something, but then suddenly looks off to the right of the stage, and then, without warning, Halo seems to vanish into blackness, plunging the entire theater into the dark. After a few seconds, the lights come back on, and the stage is as it was when you first arrived, with the cathedral, the two piles of bodies on either side, and the collapsed figures of Booker, Ledger, and Bailey. Halo is nowhere to be seen.
The character.
Yes, Halo, the character, is nowhere to be seen. I'm going to have to ask you all to make me an Endure Cursed roll. please?
Ooh,
I love to endure cursed.
Even me, who has disappeared.
You are still there. Your actor is gone.
Okay.
Is this risky or standard?
It's risky.
Okay, I think I'm rolling with zero dice.
Same, let's go.
It's pretty cursed.
Let's do it.
That sucks.
Zero effective dice. I think we just automatically fail.
Oof.
Oh, mine's a critical failure.
Could be worse.
Mine too.
We're all in this together.
Things are about to break.
Good job, team. Go Deathblades.
Who?
Okay. I don't know. It was a memory.
You are all going to take 3 echo stress. And remember to use armor if you have it.
Does anybody have armor?
I don't think I have armor.
No.
I don't think anybody has. My stress total is now 14, so I think I'm going to take major fallout no matter what.
Jesus. That's big.
It's because of that fucking mind stress. This would be a good time to use my collateral ability if I hadn't already blown it.
Doesn't that suck? All of you, roll me off your fallout tests, please.
I love taking major fallout.
Good, good, good. Come on, Booker. Don't get fallout.
I'm not ready.
That's major.
Major fallout. Okay, so Ledger and Booker both take major fallout. And Halo and Bailey did not.
Ledger, we're going to explode.
Major echo fallout is not actually really what you want to get.
No.
I would say probably not.
Doesn't give you a cool scar.
Do we clear all stress as well?
Yes, you could be. If you got your major fallout, you clear all of your stress.
Oh, it's not too bad.
Yeah, there we go. We're back to normal. Thanks, Colin.
Major echo fallout is really bad.
No, it's okay.
Generally speaking, it's not good.
We'll be fine. Well, me and Halo will be fine. But you guys, I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to give both of you the same fallout because it's easier that way. You're both going to get dark cravings.
Oh, baby.
Which is, you crave unusual taboo things rather than good, honest meat and drink. Next time you visit a haunt, which is what you use to remove fallout, you must seek out this weird thing and indulge it. Otherwise, you will be unable to regain any stress. And what you're craving is teeth.
Ew.
Oh.
Is it specified has to be human?
Nothing is specified.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, here's the thing. I actually have a bag of teeth.
That's weird.
That's my resource that I have is a bag of interesting teeth.
There you go.
They sound great right now.
Guys, I'm gonna pop this in my mouth real quick.
Just pop them like Tic Tacs.
Hmm.
All right, I could live with that.
I don't know. I feel like he becomes aware of the weight of the bag of teeth in his pot, one of his like many pouches or belts running under his coat.
You also get the, looking around again, the chairs here, they look like teeth.
Hmm. And we specifically want to eat teeth, right? That's the...
Yeah. The chairs are made of wood. They look like teeth. You are craving teeth, like capital T teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you all feel about what just happened?
Booker's tummy rumbles.
I think Bailey spits on the floor. They're trying to get in our heads, all right? Keep it cool.
Halo climbs onto the stage and is attempting to walk in the direction that Halo the actor last looked before disappearing.
There's a wall. It looks like there used to be a door here. Like, you know, kind of like a stage door. Start your stage right.
But it touches the edges of the door. Trying to claw his way in.
It's very warm.
Is the cathedral still there?
Cathedral's still there.
Bailey's going to go up and kind of inspect it.
Bailey, as you walk up, you see on one of the seats near the front row, there's a piece of paper.
I'm going to walk over and check it out.
The piece of paper, it's a script. It seems that someone has been chewing on the script. There are teeth marks on it, and saliva, you presume, has caused some of the ink to run, making most of it illegible. However, There's a single cluster of line, which remains mostly intact, and that line reads, Bailey looks at the script in his hands. His lips tremble. Bailey, colon. It's not a machine. It's not even magic. It's the play. Even if illegible, we never stood a chance.
I think Bailey starts shaking a little bit. But not out of fear, out of anger.
You'd say his lip trembles?
Yeah, I would say his lip trembles. And he clenches his teeth, and he kind of like balls up the piece of paper as hard as he can, and he starts ripping it up into pieces. You could probably even hear him go, and he like kind of just like, he does not drop the pieces on the ground. He stuffs them into his pocket.
You're going to say mouth, I don't know why.
And then he swallows.
Calories. In answer to Ledger's question, Halo says, I don't know. It's here, but it's not here. He goes and touches the cathedral.
Your hand goes through it. It's cheap paper mache. So much less realistic than it looked from a distance.
I think Bailey rushes the stage now, and he kind of like points. And he's like, see, it's fake. They're just trying to get in our goddamn heads, okay? It's fine. It was all just a lie.
Are our stage actors still here on the stage, laying down?
On the floor? Yes, they are. You stepped over them to get to the cathedral.
I'm going to kick mine in the stomach.
I'm going to kneel down beside, not myself, I'm going to kneel down beside Booker, and I'm going to see if he seems to be alive.
Getting close to the bodies, you notice that they're carved out of wood with such incredible detail that it looks like skin at first, even with the way the light plays off the surface like oily skin. The mouths of Booker, the actor's mouth, is the only thing that seems to be unrealistic. It has no teeth, but there are inexplicably indentations in the mouth where teeth would go, as if it has synthetic wooden gums.
Damn, because you know Ledger was going down there to yank those delicious wooden teeth out of his head. Are they wearing costumes?
They're wearing your clothes.
Like exactly the same?
Exactly the same. Any equipment you have is prop equipment and is not worth anything.
Fucking damn it. I think Bailey, Bailey like picks up the blunderbuss in the thing and then realizes it's fake and throws it on the ground.
Booker takes the prop gun. He wants it.
You have a prop gun.
I think Ledger checks if his double has boots that are nicer than his own boots in terms of like what quality they are. And if they seem like even slightly less worn, he's going to take them and just put them on right there on the stage.
Sure. I mean, they seem similar enough.
Well,
you have new shoes. They fit really well.
Yeah, I expect it. I think Ledger looks to everybody else and he's like, well, I wish that I could tell you all the things were going to get better as we go along, but I think you probably can intuit that they are, in fact, going to get worse instead.
I mean, that wasn't too bad. No one got hurt physically, all right? We can still walk.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, the worst wounds are ones that you can't see. And he smiles.
Just don't let it get in your head, then. It's that simple.
Oh, my head is an ironclad fortress.
Mine too. Okay?
Glad we understand each other. Now let's try and find what we came here for and put this out of your mind. And he looks at Halo when he says that and kind of pats him on the shoulder as he walks past towards the stage door.
Yeah, I'm following close.
Yep. We're green.
Are you going back out to the employee door?
No, wasn't there a door stage right?
There is a place where a door should be, and there's only a outline of it, as if it's been bricked up.
But it's quite warm. It's so warm.
Well, I suppose we got to go back to the other employee door, then.
Let's go find that green room.
Great. You go out, you go to the employee door, and beyond it is a dark, completely unlit hallway.
I think Ledger kind of just walks in, whistling to himself.
Are you going to spark up a light source? Are you going to walk into the darkness?
I think we should spark up. Can Halo glow or something?
I mean,
or is he just like kind of like very dim light?
Dim level 4, Halo.
No, not really. Not right now, anyways.
Okay, yeah, Ledger
can
probably
glow, but he's not.
Is there like specific mechanics for this kind of thing? Like, do we have to make like a fortune roll to spark a torch or something?
Sometimes you have to take supply stress, I think is how it goes. But I'm not going to make you take that right now. You can have a torch.
Yeah, yeah. I think, can he have a lantern actually instead of a torch?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, he rummages in his thing, in his pouch, one of his satchel, and he pulls out kind of an old oil lantern that kind of it's got like a metal ring that he like holds it by, and it squeaks as it kind of rocks back and forth. And he strikes a little match and lights it up and turns a little dial and holds it up in his left hand. And I think maybe as he does that, there's like anybody who's looking at him sees the impression of something kind of gliding over his shoulder, over behind him on his left just for a second. And he kind of glances in that direction and smiles and gives a little nod. And he's like, all right, now let's be careful. You never know what kind of nasty things can be around. And he's got his revolver, I think, in his right hand.
Bailey holds up his broken blunderbuss and aims it down the hallway.
Like the main theater, the light illuminates the wooden hallway around you. It is a fairly hall... Blah, blah, blah. The light illuminates the wooden hallway around you. It is fairly plain, with the exception of two things. The first is that the ceiling stretches up endlessly, and you cannot see where it ends above you, and it disappears into darkness. And the second is that every 20 or so feet, there's a door painted on the wall, and the door is different every time.
Does it have words? Do like the fake doors have words above them?
No.
Are they warm?
Yes.
Which one is the warmest?
They're all the same warmth.
I think maybe after walking past like two or three of these doors, Ledger stops for a second and knocks on like that painting of a door to see if anything happens.
As you knock on the door, you hear your knock kind of echo a little bit back, and then you hear the sound of something scuttling above you.
I think when he hears that, he looks up, revolver up, lantern up, but I mean, obviously, if the ceiling's so far away, he probably can't see anything.
The sound stops.
Well,
yeah, that's right. I don't
care for that.
ahead of you, now that you've kind of looked up, you notice that there is a junction.
Like a T?
A T junction. Or an X
junction. No visible doors in either direction?
No, but on the ground in the middle of the junction, it's marked. It's hard. I don't even know how I would describe it. It's like, Bailey, you would describe this as mathematical, as something scholarly here. It's like a grid with dots interspersed on it. It's trying to communicate something to you, but it's not immediately understandable.
I crouch down and kind of like look it over, kind of like rubbing it. I'm not getting anything from this.
Oh, but you could. But it would take a roll.
You know what, guys? Hold on. I got some dice here. Just give me a second.
This is a discern cursed roll.
Let's try it. Honestly, Colin, let's try it. What do you think?
I would love
that. That's a great idea.
I do have a discern. I don't have anything in cursed.
Better than anybody else.
I'm just going to do standard.
Mm-hmm. Success. Take no stress.
Yay.
4 and 8.
Oh yeah.
Okay. It doesn't really mean anything to you immediately. You think there's something here, but it's kind of just nothing. You move forward again, and you actually find yourself with the employee entrance where you entered. It's now ahead of you, which is impossible since you only really headed straight. Somehow the place has turned you around, and exploring a little more, this happens to you a couple more times. At one point, you find a second junction with another pattern on it, and then it clicks for you, which is that this grid that someone has left here in this like chalk, it seems to be a very bizarre way of indicating how to traverse these junctions. It specifies different directions depending on which loop you're in, and provided that this is correct, you might be actually able to go somewhere.
Okay. I think I would tell this to my comrades, and then I kind of end with saying, nothing magical about it. It's all just math.
All right. Well, then, I think Ledger goes to hand over the lantern, and he's like, I suppose you should lead the way.
Ah, follow me. And I start going at the best of my ability, following whatever I had learned before.
You keep going on this strange route, occasionally getting looped back to the main entrance, but every time it seems you're going to different junctions. You're making progress. And every now and then there's that scuttling sound above you. And whenever you stop to listen to it, it stops again. After a few minutes of exploring the looping halls, you see something new. Ahead of you at the next juncture is a figure, a woman who has keeled over a broken puppet, and she seems to be crying, her body heaving as if from heavy sobs. But she is silent.
I think I tap everyone's shoulders and kind of point down the road. Another illusion.
Are you sure?
Well, we don't know that for sure.
Well, you can go find out.
I think Ledger maybe takes a step forward and he's like, excuse me, ma'am.
The woman screams upon seeing you, and then she seems to lift up off the ground and float very rapidly down the hall, leaving her broken puppet behind.
Ooh. Not creepy. What's the puppet look like?
Yeah.
It's a colorfully dressed performer, and in the puppet's hand is another smaller puppet, dressed like the woman you just saw.
Does that one have an even smaller puppet, or are we too far away to see?
It does not.
Damn.
I'm going to pick up this smaller puppet, if no one has any other problems.
I think that we have to deal with the ghost that is running at us really fast.
Oh, it's running away. It's flying away.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was coming towards us. Okay.
Nah. This is what I wanted to test, is I pick up the doll, and I kind of like move it away and far, like closer and farther from my body, kind of extending my hand with it in my, or extending my arm with it in my hand to see, like, is anything changing in the environment when I do this? Do I see that lady coming at me again?
No, you don't. But you can take the doll. It's a D4 cursed weird puppet. It's a resource.
Yeah. I think I'll hold it. And I'll even announce, let's hold on to this. You never know.
That's your sheet.
Mage maneuver.
Never liked puppets very much.
Don't worry, I'll hold on to it.
Was that lady okay? She seemed sad.
She's gone now.
I think that was a lady.
Hmm.
Just something to get in our heads. Let's keep moving.
Around the next junction, or actually probably a few more junctions, you see two figures in the darkness. They are dressed in plain black jumpsuits with a sturdy, what would be like an old-timey thing that like a theater attendant would have? It's not like a flashlight. I guess lanterns, right?
Like a hooded lantern?
Yeah, they each have like a hooded lantern. And emblazoned across the back of their uniforms, because they're facing away from you, is the word staff.
Ooh, I think I'd nudge Ledger. And I'm like, all right, Charmer, you want to make your entrance?
I suppose I shall. Excuse me, gentlemen.
They turn around and face you.
Do they have faces?
Yeah, they have faces.
Do those faces have teeth in their mouths?
Their mouths aren't open.
I gotta get them to talk first then, eh?
Gotta get them to smile, man.
They seem to stare at you with a certain intensity.
Since you work here, I was hoping you could point me in the correct direction. I'm looking for an associate of mine, one F man.
One of these staff members kind of like jerks his head to the side looking at you, and he opens his mouth to talk. He does have teeth, and he says, staff only.
Yeah, I am staff. I'm a performer. He grins.
He starts walking towards you.
Is there a tent?
Does he look normal coming at us?
Yeah, he's just walking towards you.
Okay.
Menacingly.
I'm going to aim my blunderbuss, kind of, not like hold it up, but I'm just going to have it pointed at the guy.
You see, he's going to miss his train if he does not hurry, and I would hate for that to happen.
The guy gets up close to your face. He ignores the blunderbuss. And he like starts looking you over, and he starts running a hand on your shoulder and down your arm. And he says, you're no performer.
I resent that accusation, sir. I was told.
He grabs your jaw.
I think I want to raise my revolver and try and shoot him in the gut.
Now we're doing it.
I'm shoving my barrel at him, too.
We're going loud.
I think as soon as he touches my face, maybe because I assume he's coming for my teeth, I'm going to try and just put one through his guts.
It's the death blow. You never go for a man's teeth.
kill cursed, I believe.
Few rules in life.
Ooh, let's kill cursed.
Never take a man's teeth.
Let's see what happens. Wait, what?
Failure.
Oh, you rolled risky. It's not risky.
Oh, was it risky?
It's
oh,
not
okay,
risky.
Cool. And that's a critical normal. Success.
A critical success. You can roll your damage if you'd like. I think critical increases the dice step by one.
Oh, so that would be a d10 instead of a d8?
Yes, that's right.
Let's just
your expensive revolver.
Yes, and I think that means that if I roll max, then I have to take fortune stress, right? I think that's what expensive does. Boom! That's a six.
Six. You shoot him through the chest. There's the sound of cracking wood, and he just collapses. Collapses just instantly to the ground. The other staff member back there drops his lantern and is yanked up into the ceiling.
Shit.
Taken by their strings. Notice that?
I get it.
The clacking above you gets louder.
I think Ledger, he pulls back the hammer on his revolver. The cylinder click clicks as it cycles one. And then he looks back at his companions, is like, we need to move a little more quickly, I think.
Agreed.
Hale looks up at the ceiling and follows.
All right, sure. Yeah, I even start jogging, so people jog around me.
As you run forward, and you turn a corner, Halo grabs you by the shoulders, Bailey, and says, stop!
What?
Who's in the back of the party?
I imagine it's either Halo or Booker.
Yeah.
I think Booker.
All right, Booker it is.
Booker, you hear Halo's voice up ahead. It sounds wrong, because Halo's actually right next to you. And then there is a swooshing sound, and something big falls down behind you.
Booker turns to look at it.
It is a twist of wooden limbs, erupting from a vaguely human core. Six jointed arms, nine legs, moving in an almost centipedal coordination. Its bulk seems almost too large for the hallway, its limbs press against the walls and floor uncomfortably. It is clad in a colorful performer's outfit. Red, green, and blues burst with white fur at the collars and ankle. It wears a hooked red hat, beneath which is a burst of graying hair spilling out, covering the features of its face. Strung across its back are a cluster of smaller marionette bodies, tied in a limp bundle. One of its arms reaches out for you, trying to snatch you out of the group with its big wooden hands. What do you do?
He's going to yell for help and try to get the fuck away from that thing.
That sounds like an evade.
Yeah, I think so.
Evade cursed. Risky, because you are surprised.
Oh, no.
Evade.
Goodbye,
religion.
My friends. Oh, hey. Take stress.
Success
at a cost with a 10?
Oh, because you have, since it's risky.
Zero.
And you only have one die, I think it takes you down by one success level.
Okay.
At least that's what I assume, because that's what the Roll 20 is telling me, and I'm not going to question that.
Good chip.
Okay. Take stress.
Yeah, zero effective dice. You're right. I'm pretty sure that's what that means.
So do I take... what stress is this?
I think he'll tell you. And you might even roll it.
Uh-oh.
Why would he do that?
Oh, that's a lot.
Oh, no.
That doesn't make sense. Why would he do that?
1d8. You got a 7. Out. You get 7 blood stress.
My blood's boiling.
And let's find out what that means once you add it and then take your fallout test.
Yeah. Blood stress is like that blood. This is like effectively your health. This thing has hurt you or is trying to. It's not literally that like you have lost 7 units of blood.
I lost 7 blood today.
Take a sip. juice it up.
Where's your blood boy?
All right, let's see that fallout test.
1/7. Take minor
fallout. We're falling out.
Okay, so, you can clear your blood stress.
All right.
You try to evade, and you do, just barely, avoiding its stretched out hand, but in doing so, like, the tip of its finger just snags your leg, barely, and you hear a crack from your leg as something fractures. You're gaining the limping, minor blood fallout, which is, if someone or something attacks your party, they will attack you first. If there's any question over who arrives last, it's you. All checks involving rapid or stealthy movement become risky.
Ouch.
Got it. Ouch. Okay. Well, Booker screams in pain as this happens.
Halo.
Yeah, I'm now closest to this.
You are.
What is the thing doing?
It just swiped at your friend, who managed to kind of stumble back after getting his leg fractured. It, judging by its body language, you're guessing it's trying to fucking get you.
Bro, what?
Halo, with a very calm stance, raises up a hand. The fingers now slightly clawed, and a bit of light gathering through his arm. Veins converging into the palm to a small burst, and he says the word extinguish, and I'm using my ability, which is a modified exsanguinate, where I suck all the light out of something, draining its life force. This is a kill d6.
Okay, you have to make a kill attack, I'm assuming.
Kill cursed.
Kill cursed.
Can anyone help me? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, Ledger can. Okay. He will also be subjected to the fallout, so I'm wondering if it's a good idea. But yeah, I think he would. I think that he is currently... his priority is dealing with this situation, so I think he will.
Okay.
Standard. This is a standard effect, especially since you're working together.
Could I maybe take a step forward and try and put a round through it?
All right, Halo, roll me a kill curse with +1 die. Oh, critical success.
Critical success.
Okay, so it's roll me a d8 instead of a d6.
Nice.
Are there any other tags on this?
Nope.
Or is this normal? Ranged. Okay, cool. Ranged, cool.
I also ignore piercing.
Wait, our armor, I assume?
Yeah.
It is piercing?
I gain piercing, sorry.
Two. You do two damage to it.
It's a little.
Unfortunate. Okay. Yeah. But it is something. The light seems to come from this thing, inexplicably. Even though you're not sure if it is alive, but it has less light in it. It flows into you, and it feels... Do you have a sensation when you absorb things light?
It feels warm.
It feels warm. This thing feels cold. Cold light.
Ooh.
Yuck. That's probably not good.
Like getting an IV drip.
Like the stars.
Thank you.
Bailey, what are you doing?
What's going on with me? Halo.
Fake Halo
my shoulder.
Grabbed you. You heard something behind you. And then looking back, Halo is gone because Halo's behind you. Duh.
Mm-hmm. And I see what's going on.
You see what's going on from the shaky light of your lantern.
Is the monster taken care of, or
no?
What's going on?
No,
okay, definitely
no.
Not.
It's trying to fucking get you, man.
Bailey's gonna flip his blunderbuss around. He's gripping it by the barrel. He's going to wield it like a bat.
Okay,
and I'm going to run at this thing screaming, and I'm going to try to swing and hit it.
Excellent.
Big maniac.
That's a kill cursed, sire.
A kill cursed. Kill cursed standard?
Standard.
Now, Before I roll, I'd like to use an ability called Unorthodox Methods. Once per session, before you roll dice to resolve an action, instead state that your result is a 6. You succeed, but take stress.
Oh, okay. Probably wise nice. Choice. Okay, you're going to be able to hit this. Roll yeah. me a d4. That's what the unarmed damage is.
Gotcha. / R1d4.
That's a 4. Not bad.
Oh, shit.
You, honestly, Adam, what I think happens is that you hit it again, and at some point, your blunderbuss goes off. and you deal damage to it, even though it's broken. Somehow it shot it.
well, here's what makes me laugh is I'm holding it so the barrel is at the floor. So yeah, I'm imagining it goes off and it shoots inside the thing, like it propels into the center of this thing.
yeah, that's good. That's good.
And I think as he's doing this, Bailey's like, "You think I need bullets?" And as he says bullets, it shoots.
how weird is that? Okay, you clobber it pretty good. There's a cracking noise as you start breaking through it, but it is still up. It's kind of like scrambling above you, and I think it's going to do some damage to you. Unfortunately,
I do
another
take stress.
Another seven Ooh, blood stress.
Fuck. That's a lot.
4, 5, 6, 7. And now I'm doing a fallout test.
You are doing a fallout test,
gentlemen. This is gonna be really bad.
Take major fallout. Oh man.
Oh boy.
Welcome to the club, buddy.
I think what happens is that the thing touches you, Bailey. Like, it's swinging at you very violently, but then so gently. It just, like, strokes your arm with a finger, and you feel your arm stiffen and get yanked up into the air, like something is pulling it up.
Uh-oh.
And fighting it, you feel your arm, like, straining against this invisible force which is pulling you up into the ceiling, and your arm cracks with a sickening noise.
Ugh.
You can't use your arm until it heals, which will make some tasks riskier or dangerous and others impossible.
Can I use another ability now?
What's that?
Could I use my Mark of the Weaver now? You can fix something in a matter of seconds, even if it would usually take hours of careful work.
I think once the fight is over,
we could try this.
You can try it. There are separate rules for removing fallouts.
Okay.
I would need to look it up to see what it is, but keep that in mind.
Sure.
Okay. Ledger.
I think what Ledger is going to do is he's going to he levels his revolver at the thing, and he probably says something like, all right, baby, let's get this son of a bitch. And maybe if anybody is looking at him or seeing him in their peripheral vision, maybe like a ghostly hand kind of strokes along the side of his gun, and it starts glowing with this like kind of whitish bluish light that seems to be like coming from inside of the chamber and pouring out all the cracks. And I'm going to use my ability, Invidious Spectre. All weapons gain the conduit tag. Mark D4 mind stress to roll attacks with mastery for the rest of the scene. And I have a coupled ability that means when I use this, the weapon also gains the piercing tag. So I gain mastery with attacks and piercing for the rest of this scene.
Do it.
And I'm going to take some mind. Should we do a fallout test for this self-inflicted 4 mind stress first? Or after?
Let's do it after.
Okay, so this is a kill curse, this time with mastery.
That's
critical success!
Yeah!
Ooh, baby. So that makes this a 10. 7. Piercing damage. And when he fires, there's like a blast of this whitish light that kind of shoots out the barrel of the gun.
Fuck yeah. The thing reels from your blow. Its torso cracks open with this ghostly light, and it seems to like almost be collapsing in on itself a little bit. And then out from the hole in its chest begins to spill like a stream of teeth, just like collapsing onto the ground like entrails. There's like this sound of straining straining wires as this thing starts to get pulled upwards, but it claws at the wall like it doesn't want to go with many arms and legs. But eventually the strain is just too much. Some of its arms are like yanked out of their sockets, still embedded in the walls, and it's pulled violently up into the dark ceiling above. And then it is quiet. And you're left in a hallway with teeth scattered on the floor, as well as a couple of these strange puppet arms.
Booker pockets and teeth.
I think Ledger immediately falls to the ground and starts trying to grab a whole bunch of the teeth.
Yeah, no, Booker.
These fellas love their teeth.
What the fuck are you guys doing?
Aren't you hungry?
No, it's teeth.
I mean, what way I could go leave them all behind?
Leave teeth? You would just grab the damn teeth. We got pressing matters, okay? Let's keep going.
Ow. You really are crazy, old man.
Your arm looks in bad shape.
Yeah, it's kind of broken right now. Can I use my mend skill? Is this gonna use my ability or no?
Let me look it up real quick. Okay. There are like restrictions on removing fallout.
While this is all going on, I think after he's satisfied with some of the teeth, I think maybe he like tries to casually pop one in his mouth.
I mean, it's a tooth.
I think he doesn't even chew it. He just swallows it.
Yeah, Booker dry swallows it like a pill.
Does he feel like is his craving sated at all? Does that take the edge off a little?
No, man, you've had one potato chip.
If anything, you want more now.
You want more. Like that hits the spot.
Well,
all right, we're getting a whole bag ready.
He's gonna manage to keep it in check for now, but he looks, I think, between his companions, and he's like, "Well, short one leg, one arm. Halo, are you all right?"
Yeah, I feel fine. Are we eating teeth now?
No, we're not eating anything. We're moving.
Well, let's not be hasty. I mean, yes, we'll talk about this at another time. Let's move on. Can you walk, Booker?
I'll get along fine.
All right.
Can I use my physicker's bag to mend blood on Booker?
Yes. It might take some time, though.
Do we really want to do that here?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we should just keep going.
Didn't Booker clear all his blood stress anyways?
Yeah, but isn't it the leg of fallout, the limping?
Yeah, but so fallouts aren't healed through mending. Only stress is typically healed through mending. Because Adam specifically has a special ability, Mark of the Weaver, I will say... I'm just going to say, instead of some tasks being impossible, I will keep it... You can splint yourself so that it'll only be risky at most. I'll give you that, Adam.
Okay,
sure. Just say, change the fallout to like splinted broken arm or something.
How about I take one of the like puppet arms and I use that to splint myself?
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. For those of you taking teeth, you guys can get two bags of D6 cursed teeth.
Let's go.
Cursed puppet teeth or whatever. And then the arms also kind of look somewhat valuable.
I'm using mine as a splint.
we'll say you use yours as a splint. But if someone else wants that other arm, you can have it.
Is that blood minor, by the way?
That's my major blood stress.
Blood major. I'll take
puppet arms. What's?
It's a D6 Haven puppet arm.
Nice. Okay, we got teeth. We got arms. I think Ledger's like, you never know. Anything can be valuable to anybody in the right circumstance. I never waste anything. That's my secret. And he taps the side of his nose.
Smart guy.
Great.
You guys are crazy. Yeah.
As you head forward, you eventually come to a door. Through the door is a somewhat normal space. The ceiling no longer stretches infinitely up into the darkness. It is lit by a number of gas lamps on the wall. Just ahead of you, there is a door labeled Green Room. And laying against the door, dressed in fine red robes and wearing a paper mask, is a corpse. The body itself looks extremely old. Yet amazingly, the clothes, as well as the silver staff beside it, are in immaculate condition.
So he looks like he's been dead for a long time?
Yes.
Okay, I have a question, and I have a question because I don't know if this ability is allowed to be used this way. I can touch the brow of a recently dead corpse to ask them one final question. Does anything happen when I touch his brow?
He's not recently dead.
Okay.
Yeah, I know he doesn't seem recently dead, but that's kind of my question is, like, can I see if, like, that's, like, an illusion or if, like, he was, like... Anyways, it doesn't matter. I think maybe... Yeah, Ledger probably kneels down next to him and, like, says, like, he grabs one of the little necklace chains around his neck and maybe mutters a low prayer. And then I think he starts going through his pockets.
Sure. Here's what you find. And these are just... You can split up these things between all of you, because these resources will come in handy for removing fallout. The first is Sealer's staff is a D8 religion item. The second is Sealer's uniform, which is a D6 religion item, if you want to strip him naked.
Yeah.
The other one is Sealing supplies, which is a D6 occult. And then the final is Iridescent Beetle, which is a weird shining beetle, which is a D6 occult niche as a tag item.
That beetle. Okay, so it's your passenger.
This is literally like when you find that guy in Dark Souls, the first one, like the red robe sealer guy, and you pick up all of his clothes and all of his shit. So I got the staff and the supplies down. Does somebody else want to write down the other stuff? It's getting a little crowded in here.
I want the beetle.
Okay, it's a D6 occult niche beetle, and then the uniform. If you want to strip him of his uniform, it is nice, but you know what you're doing. It's a D6 religion.
I think I'm not going to take the uniform. Somebody else can.
Not me.
I'm going to take the mask off of him, actually, and just see what his face looks like, or if it's just like puckered mummy face.
I can take the uniform. What's the stats again?
D6 religion. His face is... There are bite marks all over it.
How big are the bite marks?
Since you took off his robes as well, his entire body is covered with innumerable bite marks. Are from about just every type of mouth you could ever guess. From animal to human to bug bites to... Well, actually, no, bugs don't have teeth, so it's not bug bites.
Like little mosquito bites.
You know, things you can't even comprehend or imagine. And as you strip him, you notice that he has a crumpled piece of paper in his hand.
Yeah, what's it say?
It is a bitten and drool-stained piece of paper. Many of the lines are... smudged, except for at the very bottom, very, very bottom of this ripped piece of paper, it says, "But he did not notice the sealer's trick. And so, following the script to its conclusion, the friendly man," and friendly man is in quotes, "now blind to his power, closed the green room door behind himself. He could never open that door and would be trapped there beneath the impossible sea for all eternities." The end.
Oh,
beneath the sea.
Guys, you should look at this.
I think Ledger's like, "Do you make a habit of stripping the dead naked when you find them?"
I thought you said you don't waste.
Well, the sanctity of a corpse is a different matter. Of course, he's not going to need his items, but it's a matter of dignity. And I think he rips up the paper and reads it. And he's like, "Maybe our man's trapped in there. I'm going to open this door." And I think he kind of, after what he just said, he shoves the corpse out of the way. I guess maybe it's already shoved out of the way. But he's like, "Nobody go through this door just in case. We don't want to be trapped for all eternity, you know." And I think he's going to try turning the handle.
The door opens. Behind it is a extremely friendly looking man with a gray and red scarf cinched around his neck. What is it about him that looks so friendly? Each of you choose one thing.
Round.
Eyes.
Round? Like he's kind of just like a jolly? Like I think he's kind
he's
of like...
jolly. He's rotund. Round and jolly.
Lee guy.
He's got a nice smile.
He's wearing glasses.
Very nice smile.
Ooh, yeah, little just like
Coca-Cola advertisement Santa Claus.
What kind of, right? what kind of glasses is he wearing?
Small little academic spectacles, something that I would have seen at the academy.
Yeah, maybe something one of your early teachers that you liked a lot had.
Yeah.
And then you said eyes, Brian?
Yeah, he has like really big puppy eyes. It's like, they couldn't hurt anyone.
He looks extremely friendly. He looks at, and he kind of looks at you all with a look of surprise, and he says, "Oh, hello.
What's your name, sir?"
"I'm the friendly man. You can call me friendly, if it's easier."
The friendly man. Ledger looks back at his companions as if like, there you go.
Yeah, F-man.
Finally, someone tells us their name.
You got a train to catch, don't you?
You know, I think I do. I got a feeling that that we're going to be good friends.
I like the cut of your jib, Mr. Man. Why don't we get out of here?
Yeah, let's get out of here. I think I've been here for too long. Much too long.
Yeah, I think we're just going to start to leave.
All right, where do we go? I got some bad news, friendly man.
just behind you, as you turn around, you see a doorway. And it says stage on it.
Oh, what do you know?
Bailey goes to open it.
You're looking up.
I suppose this is the quickest way.
You enter. Stage right. That there's a door where there was just the outline before.
Is everything the same way that we found it? Or that we left it?
Yeah, everything's the same. As far as you can tell.
Ledger's like discarded boots are still there, and the bootless himself puppet is there.
No, you know, I changed my mind. I think your bodies are gone.
Okay.
The cathedral?
Cathedral's still there.
Yeah, cool.
Does it still have the hole in it from when Halo put his hand through?
No, it's been hastily mended.
Okay. Well, Mr. Man, now why is it that a sealer would want to seal you away? I read it on a piece of paper. I don't know if it's real.
I just don't know. I try not to get on anyone's bad side. At least I think I don't. I wouldn't do anything bad. Maybe it was a misunderstanding.
Maybe. Mm. You didn't bite him, did you? He had quite a few bite marks on him.
Bite him? The only thing I use my teeth for is smiling. And enjoying some sweet tea. And he winks at you.
What a nice guy.
I just like the implication that he chews his sweet tea.
Well, you gotta eat the tea pulp.
Yeah, when you're done with it, after it's been soaking in those juices. Ledger's just gonna lead the way out. Be like, we were on a train on its way to a little town called Calamity, and we kind of wound up here, so...
Come here.
Porter told us that they had a ticket for an F-man, and that might be why our locomotive wound up here in the first place.
I am very sorry. I do not want to cause any sort of problems. I see you folks are in tough sorts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, giant puppet shattered his arm.
Got my leg.
I'm so sorry. You got Pat's his... What is he wearing? It's a very friendly clothes.
Friendly coat. Yeah.
Overalls?
A jolly he's coat.
Buttoned vest. That is nice. A bow tie. He's got a bow tie.
Oh, shit.
But he is wearing that scarf.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. The scarf is tied in a bow.
It's a very nice scarf. Maybe it's tied in a bow. It's tied as nice as a silken scarf.
Yes, it is. He's like a present.
He's like a present for you.
Oh, he is. What a lovely man.
He taps himself down. He's like, I wish I had some currency on me or some treats to give you, but...
Got any teeth?
Only these ones, and he grins at you. It is honestly... Honest to God, it is the most beautiful smile you've ever seen in your life.
Those look delicious, but I would hate to relieve you of them.
And he leads you on. I mean, I see you guys go back.
Yeah, we lead him back to the train station. He's following us, obviously.
Yeah, he finds great novelty in this town. He's kind of confused. He's been friendly about it.
I think as we walk, Ledger's like talking to him about like... Well, you know, the city's influence is not supposed to sprout this far, but things seem a little out of sorts. It's, what was that word you used? Is it leaking? He said it was leaking. I think I believe him. It seems like it's leaking.
City?
It's awful. Black Ochre. Yeah, City of Glass. You know how it is.
I'm sorry, friend. I don't know what that is.
Oh. I mean, how long were you in that room anyways? The man who put you there seemed like he maybe died a couple hundred years ago.
I don't know. If I'm being honest with you, I don't remember getting in that room. I just remember being there. I'm sorry, I don't want to make the moment about me or anything. I just find that to be unpleasant. I'm genuinely quite confused right now. And I keep...
Well,
I keep speaking in your voice.
It's a nice voice.
I need to get an ability somehow that makes his accent infectious.
I think while you guys are walking, Bailey's gonna like saddle up next to Booker. He's like, you know what I think? F-man stands for fake man. This thing isn't real. It's gonna stab us in the back, okay? Don't trust anything that comes out of its mouth.
What are you talking about? He's right there.
He's real. He's going to kill us, okay? He's going to try to kill us. Just put him on the train, and we forget about him.
Yeah, first your shotgun's broken. Now the friendly man isn't friendly. Bailey, why don't you just... You keep an eye on him, then.
Okay, maybe I will. And if you get stabbed in the back, I told you so.
So you told me so.
I'm walking away.
You arrive at the train. The friendly man kind of reaches into his vest pocket on his overalls, question mark? And he finds a ticket, which he seems surprised to be there.
See, I told you had a ticket.
He gives it to the attendant, who's also very confused by this friendly man, but she's taken in by his friendliness, and he's led aboard. And just about as soon as you're all aboard, the train turns back on.
I think as the train turns on and we start going, I think Ledger wants to go poke his head into the locomotive if the door's not locked.
I think the door is locked. I think it was locked behind him.
Okay, that's fine.
As much as I would like to say that you can just go in, they do lock that door.
Yeah.
I think he
tries the door, and then he maybe just like kind of shouts, like, y'all better not be making any more stops. We got an appointment to keep. Then he walks back into the first class cabin.
And as you walk back into the first class cabin, there's a creaking of metal, and then a thunking noise, and then... You are forced into the ground as the train seems to go straight up into the air. There is a loud splash, another influx of that stinky goo, and then you emerge on the other side of the wandering sea, slamming back onto a railroad track. The stewards look extremely unnerved yet again, kind of look out the windows. And talk amongst themselves for a little bit, and they say, well, folks, it seems like the train is back on schedule. We should be arriving within, 2 hours, I guess. And we're going to double back and grab anyone else left on the other side of the sea once we drop you all off in Calamity. Please have a pleasant rest of your trip, if that's possible.
I think Bailey shouts when that finishes. He's like, yeah, you're welcome, everyone! And he just, like, looks at his arm in his chair.
I imagine that once we're, like, back on, like, regular train tracks, Ledger grabs, like a smashed bottle of beer that was, like, rolling around on the floor from, like, because, like, we were having dinner when all that shit kind of went down. And I think he picks it up and there's, like, a little bit of alcohol in the bottom and he kind of, like, tips the jagged broken bottle above his mouth into his open maw.
Yum.
And then sits back in his chair and just like, you know, I'd just replace these damn boots.
I think, am I sitting across from Ledger?
You can be. I think the seating arrangements are probably all fucked up now anyways.
Yeah, I think I just kind of like lean towards you as you're drinking. And I'm like,
you don't trust him, right? F man.
Ledger... shrugs. Is F-Man here in the car somewhere?
Yeah, he's talking to one of the attendants.
chatting him up.
Just having a good old time.
Ledger shrugs and he says, look, we can infer a couple of things. If that piece of paper speaks the truth, F-Man was sealed away by way of some devious trick. Possibly because he's some great and terrible danger, possibly for reasons that died along with the man who sealed him there, who knows how long ago. I like to keep it simple and look at the facts. We had one way to get this locomotive rolling, to get ourselves unstuck, and we took that path, and that is the sum of my feelings about Mr. F-Man. If he tries to, you know, do something untowards, perhaps we will cross that bridge when we reach it. But for now, I'll just have my baby keeping half an eye on him, and I think I'm going to try and catch me a little sleep.
Listen, I'm happy. We succeeded. That's great. And we're moving forward. By all accounts, we did a good thing. But I'm just saying, we got eyes on us now, okay? We're being watched.
By who?
Something. Something knows what we did, and now it's with us.
And he kind of like nudges with his head towards F-Man.
Well, I suppose you might be right. I don't know how much comfort I can provide you in these matters.
Why don't you take the comfort? I'll watch him.
That's mighty kind of you.
Yeah, no problem.
He leans back in his chair.
And looks out the window.
He, Ledger finally, he hadn't done this before, but he like takes his revolver and he kind of spins the chamber and he has a test. It's like an old style cap and ball, so he has to like manually put, like pour powder from a powder horn in and then place a bullet on and then use a little lever to press it down. He reloads the chambers on his gun and then leans back and maybe pulls his little top hat down above his eyes and tries to catch a little nap.
I think Bailey watches you do all this, and then as you put your hat down, he kind of like mimics you and then leans back and puts his hat down.
Friendly man keeps chatting. Comforting voice that helps you fall asleep despite your suspicions. And we will finish on a shot out the window of the train as it clears the fog and revealing the snowy mountain pass. And in the distance, there is a town where the train line ends and the city of glass is supposed to begin. And we will end there.
Beautiful.
Yay!
Yeah!
Thanks for listening, everyone.